years ago, I was on vacation for a few days this time of year on Cape Cod. As many of you know, this time of year is great out there. Still pretty warm, but not hot, at least not usually. It's past Labor Day, so it's not too crowded. The stores are still open, and they have some pretty good sales going on. Great opportunities to find bargains. I saw some great deals in the stores, 30, 40, even 50% off. But a funny thing happened. Despite such great deals in the stores, I actually felt kind of cheated. Because I went to a surplus store and found exactly the same kinds of things, at 50, 60, even 80% off. Somehow it took the pleasure out of searching for bargains at the Keep Little Boutique store, so just anyone could get exactly the same or even better deals at the thrift store. There's just something about humans that tends to want to keep score, to measure my life against that of other people, and to be dissatisfied. Jonah, in our first lesson, and the laborers in our gospel reading, apparently felt something similar. Jonah's story is actually a comedy. It's the story of the worst prophet ever. He's told to go to Nineveh, and he runs away to Tarshish, which is in exactly the opposite direction. He sulks when his message of repentance is heeded by everyone in the kingdom. Everyone from the king on down to the beasts in the field puts on sackcloth and ashes and repents. God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. And again, when the tree Jonah was sheltering under, the tree that God provided for him, unasked, when the tree dies, just kill me now, he says. It's funny. Jonah's kind of like a sulky little kid whining, but it's not fair. Now, the laborers in our gospel are also concerned with fairness. But this time, it's not so funny. Now, God is clearly not a labor relations specialist, and the point is not to make economic policy. Economic policy and labor relations are often concerned with fairness, and that's not a bad thing. But this is a parable, and parables are designed to mess with our minds, to startle us into seeing things differently. And this parable illustrates what Jesus is interested in, which is concerned with the worker, the person rather than the economics. Like today's laborers who are hired off the street down in the city, the folks who only work part of the day generally don't have other income, no savings, investments to use. Yet they still need to buy a whole day's food and a whole day's housing and so on. They weren't hired first because maybe they were unlucky. They were in the wrong place at the right time. Or they were not in the right place at the right time. Maybe they're not as strong as some others. Maybe they didn't interview well. Maybe they have a reputation for being difficult to work with. Maybe they're the wrong color, or the wrong gender, or the wrong nationality, or religion, or immigration status, or. But they still have economic need equal to that of the people hired in the morning. It seems that Jesus, with his concern for the least and the sinners and all the other marginalized folks that he hung around with, it does seem Jesus would be interested especially in the economics of mercy. In our gospel, the wage is perfectly just. It's what was contracted for. It's the usual day's wage. And it's promptly paid. So this isn't a case of pitting God's justice against God's mercy. It's both just and merciful. It just doesn't seem fair somehow. Notice one other thing. Workers are not disputing the wage. Not really. They don't claim that they're underpaid. What they say is, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us. You have made them equal to us. Now, I have a friend who, at one point in her life, when her children were very small, She was a newly single parent working for a low-budget nonprofit. She lived in an economically depressed part of the city. And there was a subsidized daycare program in her neighborhood. She wanted her kids to have the experience of the diversity of the area. And it was a great daycare. But one day, the powers that be decided that the parents of the children would be required to attend parenting classes. Not often, required. My friend had experience teaching such classes in a previous job, yet she was still required to attend. Because the powers that be had decided that if the parents were low income, they must not be very good parents. If they were, well, they'd be equal to us. We humans sometimes tend to covet God's goodness to other people. And sometimes, like for the laborers in the vineyard, it's not about the wages. It's not the thing itself that we covet. It's the fact of unmerited generosity to others that bothers us. Perhaps it's because it removes any possible claim we can make that we somehow deserve it, that we're superior in some other place to some other people. My office, I have a coffee cup coaster that says, "Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite." It's supposed to be a joke, but if you're like me, you may find yourself too often keeping track of what everyone else may have received. That you deserve at least as much as or more than that. Getting indignant when somebody undeserving gets ahead. Or like Jonah, but then begrudging others the mercy they've received, escaping their just deserts, getting off easy. It's not just fair, God, that you've made them equal to us, and that they get something for nothing. This parable, by the way, promotes charges of unfairness or injustice only from those who are having their needs met or known. Other parts of the world, third world countries, the charge of unfair doesn't factor into it. They're so far from having their needs met, they might as well give up. And they only see gratitude or ingratitude for mercy. The fact that we've already been given far more than our just deserts, far more than we can claim to deserve. God's justice and God's mercy are so far beyond our comprehension that we can never really grasp how very much we're loved. God's kingdom, God's economy, is where everyone and every single one of us receives bounty and grace beyond measure, forgiveness and mercy that we couldn't possibly earn. We are each of us uniquely and fully